All right, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. As you're there, you might breathe a prayer for Mr. Knipple, who went to the urgent care this morning. And so we don't know really the need there, but might breathe a prayer for him. Matthew chapter 24. Of course, we know the setting of Matthew chapter 24. It's important to recognize it as the setting not of the church age, but it's the setting of the tribulation period. It is a setting of the land of Judea. It is the setting of the time of the restoration of an earthly Jewish temple. Is Jewish in its character. We think of the different aspects of this passage of Scripture. We talk about verse 16, let them be in Judea, flee into the mountains. It's not for the church age, it's for the tribulation period for the Jewish people. Verse 15, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. This is speaking of the defilement of the temple in Jerusalem. Verse 14, talk about the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. The tribulation period will be followed by the kingdom age. And talks about the Sabbath journey, versus the Sabbath day. This passage is for the Jewish people. It's taking place in the tribulation period. The abomination of desolation will take place in the middle of the tribulation period, in after the first 3.5 years. And we need to make sure that we interpret this passage correctly. Certainly there are applications for spiritual applications for today, because in reality, circumstances and history and events are different at different times, but as the spiritual realities behind them, there's much for us to learn. The Bible says, as we kind of again look, last week we looked at the three main characters of this period of time. We looked at Satan and his work. We looked at man and men. And we looked at the plan and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we'll look at some of the realities of this period of time, and to seek to learn some important truths for our lives. The verse 24, it says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and show you great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This period is going to be a time of desperation. It's going to be a time of delusion. It's going to be a time of deception. Of course, in the first few verses of Revelation chapter 6, which gives us the first half of the tribulation period, we see the state of desperation that the world is going to be. In Revelation 6 and verse 2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. This isn't Christ. This is Satan. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is the Antichrist going through the world conquering nations. Verse 3, and when he opened the second seal, I heard the beast say, come and see. And there went on another horse that was red. And of course, red speaks of blood. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And so we find death and the shedding of blood. And he opened the third seal. I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures for barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And of course, black is a picture of death. And in this case, we have the judgment of pestilence and plague and drought that will pervade the earth. And will be such that the Bible says a measure of wheat for a penny. In other words, a day's wages for a measure of wheat. And a food will be a real problem. If you plan on, if you're not saved and you plan on going through the tribulation, put your money in ADM and other agricultural stocks, because food will become very scarce and they'll make a lot of money. But I'm not planning on being here. Okay? And verse 8, and I behold a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death and Hell. And death and hell followed him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and the beasts of the earth. And so the result of these plagues will be one-fourth of the world's population will be dead. And the sad part of it, that death will be followed by hell. And these will be people dying and going to hell. And so this begins to be a picture of the first half of the tribulation period. The Bible says that there will be many false Christs and false prophets. It is interesting, being in South Africa, people that are ignorant of the Bible and yet claim to be Christian. While I was there, there was some fella somewhere in South Africa. I don't know where he was, but somewhere, this preacher, he prophesied that some elderly leader in Africa would die. And, well, that's not too hard to prophesy. I mean, there's a lot of elderly leaders in Africa. In about 3 or 4 weeks or a couple months later, an elderly leader of Africa died. And now everybody was going, not everybody, but there's this great big movement of this man was a prophet. And now we're going to have to listen to what he has to say. And he's definitely a prophet from God. Well, I think probably a sixth grader could have predicted the same thing that knew anything about history. But this man's a prophet. We have in East Troy, we have a prophet. I've been told it's Elijah, the prophet, is preaching at Calvary, whatever it's called. It shouldn't be called Calvary, that's for sure. This church in East Troy, the man is Elijah, the prophet. And there's people that are believing it and following this situation. But the Bible tells us that in the tribulation period will arise false Christ and false prophets. And there will be a tremendous time of deception and delusion. People will be looking, hoping for someone to deliver them. You know, isn't it amazing? that that people look to everybody but to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people, they get in trouble and they'll spend, thousands of dollars and go to the psychologist. Well, why don't they go to Jesus? You know, why don't they go to the Bible? And people do all these things instead of repenting of their sins and turning to Jesus Christ. Everything else comes first. Well, the world will be filled with false prophets and false Christ, and they all will be telling the world that they have the answer. Well, they don't have the answer. But notice it says, and they will show great signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. It will be a time of great delusion. They won't be great if they aren't. The Bible wouldn't say they're great if they aren't great. There will be great signs and wonders. And the part of the delusion and the deception and desperation will be what we've begun to see since the 20th century. We begin to see people interpreting the truth by their experience. You know, for 1900 years, Christianity existed without the charismatic Pentecostal movement. And that tongues glossolalia was only found in the cults. It was only found in the cults. It was there. It's been in existence for centuries. But in the late 1800s, that glossolalia came into Christianity. And it's true because it happened. No, it happened, but that doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it biblical. It doesn't make it of God. But we don't know. It could be 1,000 years before the Lord comes. But it was in 1890s that Christianity adopted interpreting the Bible through experience. An experiential interpretation of the Bible prevailed over revelational truth and proper interpretation of the Bible. The tribulation period, that will be compounded multifold. And the Bible tells us that Satan will perform great signs and wonders. And you know, it's pretty simple. Great signs and wonders. And there's going to be great miracles. And they're going to be dark miracles. But they're going to be miracles. And there's going to be wonders. And there's going to be great things that happen. Will cause people to wonder. Whoa. Wow. And it would be performed by these false prophets and these false Christs. You know, I was talking to a pastor this last week, and he's been a pastor for many years. And it's kind of interesting what he was saying to me, but he said, I'm confused. He says, I'm confused. He says, you know, it doesn't seem to matter what people's background is or where they went to school. It seems they're just going off into the mega church movement and the CCM movement and et cetera, et cetera. And says it just, he says, I'm confused. Now, this is a pastor, been pastor a number of years. Now, we always haven't aligned each other. I obviously would be to the right of where he's at. But he said, I'm confused. Of this great movement away from the truth that is pervading fundamentalism. Well, of course, I told him, well, if you study Matthew 13, you know that the Bible says that will be a day of confusion. And Christianity will be characterized by confusion. So don't worry about it. Just keep on doing right. But notice the delusion and the deception. That delusion and that deception ought to awaken us in the day in which we live. It ought to awaken us that there is spiritual warfare going on today. And that not everything that is done in the name of Jesus Christ is of God. And Satan appears as an angel of light. He isn't going around with the red pajamas on and a pitchfork with a big long tail. He's probably going around as some kind of great evangelical leader. Leading people to Christ. So we find this period of delusion and desperation and deception. We also find it is a period of unpreparedness. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. In fact, whatever his name is, he publicly repented. Family radio guy publicly repented, said that he sinned when he made a prediction. Now, if he can say, can finally admit his covenant theology is sinful too, we'd be making some good progress. But publicly said he sinned by setting a date. But the Bible says, verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, a day of unpreparedness. The Bible says it will be like the days of Noah. Now, people in Noah's day were unprepared. It doesn't mean they were not without warning. They hadn't been warned. They had been warned. Noah preached, was a preacher of righteousness. They had been warned. Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses, will be on earth. They will warn. 144,000, they will warn. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached. The people will be warned. The events prophesied in the Bible will take place, but the people will still be unprepared. How can it be that people could be warned and still be unprepared? The Bible says that it will be days in which they were like the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. You know what? They were busy with life. They were busy with life. You know what? It's easy to get busy with life, isn't it? You know, if you have a crowd around your house, you're a housewife, boy, you can be busy with life. You can get up early in the morning with the little kids, and you can get early. You have to start taking care of kids, making breakfasts, and then washing dishes and washing clothes and drying clothes and making the next meal and washing dishes I tell you what, you don't have to do too much different to get busy with life, do you? And the world is busy with life. A lot of people are busy with life. And because they're busy with life, they're unprepared. Unprepared. And you know, the devil would want us just to be busy with life, wouldn't he? Going on with life, but unprepared for the judgment. In the world, it's hard to believe. In this 7-year period of time, in which people would definitely ought to be, get serious about getting prepared for life, the darkness and the blindness, blinding work of Satan will be so real that people will be just busy about carrying on with life. But the Lord will come suddenly, and He will come with judgment. And there will not be time to repent. I asked Tim, was it 2 weeks, 1 week ago? He had the accident. 2 weeks ago, Tim Plady's in an accident. You know what? He was just minding his own business going down the road. And a lady decided to go through a stoplight and ran right into him. And his vehicle rolls over a couple times. And you know, it's all over in a couple seconds. Didn't have time to do anything but make it through. Hold on to the steering wheel. You know, people have this empty thought that they're going to somehow have time. Once in a while, in the grace of God, it happens. But you know, most people in life are unprepared. Unprepared for the most important thing in life. Unprepared for death. Unprepared to meet the Lord. Unprepared for judgment. And so the Bible says it will be a time of unpreparedness. People filled with the activities of life. And we, who we can be unprepared as well. You know, there may be somebody here today, heard the gospel all their life, but they really never been genuinely saved. Somehow, in the back of their mind, they think they'll have time to get prepared. That's not necessarily true, is it? That's not necessarily true. We don't have time. We don't know. We don't have that. Notice The second, the third great truth of that day, it says, verse 26, "Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe him not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the angels be gathered together." Notice it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And we want to go down to verse 33. "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Notice, is a time of the surety of the words of God. A time of the surety of the words of God. Notice the application, of course, is today, even so, in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3, it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." And of course, the whole context is summed up in verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The message of the scoffers is the message that God's judgment will not come. Of course, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter that the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was an example to all further nations and peoples that God would judge sodomy. And yet, you think about that today, you can understand what the spirit of the Antichrist is, and the fact that today the world is saying, no, there's no judgment. There will be no judgment. That to declare that there will be judgment over such a thing is totally unrighteous and unloving and ungodly and untrue. Well, that's the message of the world, isn't it? How can the message of God be so twisted in this day in which we live? How much more so it will be in the tribulation period? How much more so will it be that the world will scoff at the words of Jesus Christ? They will scoff at the judgment of God. They will scoff at the thought of the teaching of the coming of the Son of God. And yet the Lord says two things. He says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation," speaking of the generation in Matthew chapter 4, 24, the generation that sees the abomination of desolation, the generation that sees the wars and the rumors of wars, the pestilence, the plagues, the judgments of God, that generation, the Bible says, that generation will see all these things come to pass. And he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." You know, it's amazing that we live in a day in which the truth of the Bible is being disregarded in great proportion, great amount, by even the people of God. I'm constantly amazed at the message that was preached 40 years ago of the coming apostasy, of the Laodicean church age, about the fact that the dispensation ends in failure and judgment. I'm continually amazed how that message, which was preached 50 years ago, is almost silent today. And we see the parallel in the tribulation period where the Lord is saying, "Everything that I have said will come to pass." And it's said in an era and a time of unbelief. And we live in a day in which the attitude about the Word of God is declining at a rapid pace. And so it's a time of the surety of judgment rather than the thinking of the people in which it is sure not to come. As the Lord gives some final instructions, I am amazed that His instruction for the disciples is found in verse 47. "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready." Now, you say, how can that be? You got a 7-year tribulation period. It starts the signing of the covenant of the Antichrist with many for a week. And it ends with the coming of Christ. How could it be? Well, the thief's coming. We know it's coming. You know, but what about human nature? You know, when I was a young farmer and very inexperienced, you know, you had a pretty good idea when this mama pig was going to have her piglets. But you didn't know exactly when. And you know, I was did some interesting things. One time I had a cot out in the barn. And I was going to wait out there because, you know, I wasn't going to risk the fact of losing one of those little piglets, you know, because the mama would lay on it or it would suffocate in its sack or whatever. You know, I was going to make sure that we got every pig we could get, you know. And so, I had a cot out there once. Once I laid on bales and rested out there. And, you know, I think that a couple of different times I was successful. But, you know, a couple of different times, you know, I knew those little pigs were going to get born. But you know what? After a few hours or a number of hours, or maybe I missed it by a day or two, you know. And, you know, after missing one night of sleep, the next night it was like, no way. I'm not going out there again. And now, it's kind of like, okay, have everything ready. And what's going to happen? It's going to happen. I'm not going out there. No way. You know, that's man's nature, isn't it? The Bible says, watch. Well, it could come tomorrow. Could come the next day. Oh, could come the third day. Now, we know the Lord could come tomorrow. He could even come today. He could come today before we have a false alarm. You know, we know He could come. But you know what? Typically in us, there is this lack of a spirit of watchfulness. Exemplified in the disciples. The Lord said that He was going to be betrayed. And He made it very specific that He was going to be betrayed. And the disciples were warned. And Peter, James, and John were with Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was going to get betrayed. And it was going to be that very night. But do you think they could watch? No, they couldn't watch. The Bible tells us in the tribulation period, because iniquity shall abound. I believe the word iniquity there is the word lawlessness. The spirit of lawlessness. Boy, that really typifies our day, a day of antinomianism, a period of lawlessness, an attitude about the Bible. But just think of that day. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, sin is going to be everywhere. You know, a little bit like today. You know, there used to be a day if somebody wanted to look at some pornography, they had to drum up the courage to go someplace to a real store and look someone right in the eye and pay some money and buy that and go through that whole process of whatever. Now one click and you can have it. Nobody will so-called know. Google will know. They'll know. I come to Google front page and it says, you know, you have read, it says there, you have read 15 articles on Mitt Romney. They know. It's amazing. They know. Watchfulness. Watchfulness. We need to apply that to our lives. The air has within it the spirit of sin. The air has within it a spirit of slothfulness. The air has within it the spirit of apathy. The air has within it a spirit of nonchalantness concerning the Lord Jesus and His coming and His work. He says to watch. It means to be vigilant, to watch. Means to pray, to watch, means to be doing His work. Watch. These things in Matthew 24 are not for this age. But even a casual looking of this period of time will show us that the spiritual realities of that day can be an insight to us for the day in which we live. Are you deluded? Are you deceived by all that's going on in the name of Jesus Christ today? Don't be deluded. Don't be deceived. There's much that's done in the name of the Lord that's done in the power of Satan. We need to be careful. We need to be very careful. If people in the tribulation can be unprepared for His coming, even though they've been warned, we could be unprepared. If we aren't saved, you can imagine how easy it would be to be unprepared. Go to church, in a Baptist church, afraid of what people would think. If you got saved, they would rejoice. Amen? They'd be glad. But the devil's, oh man, how terrible that would be. So you're unprepared. We need to be careful not to get caught up in the spirit of the world that says there's no judgment. That's the spirit of the day. It's everywhere. It's so real you could almost grab it and catch it. It's a spiritual reality. We can easily be caught up in a spirit of not watching or looking for the Lord to return. We can easily get caught up in just getting busy about life. We can easily be caught up by the spirit of the day and not be watching for the coming of our Savior. Well, these are spiritual realities. We need to be people of truth. We need to be a people that, you know, there's not going to be some lightning bolt come and hit you on the head and say, get ready! We need to be people of truth, that the truth of the Word of God is what we respond to. And that is how we let God work in our life. And perhaps you just say, you know what? I've gotten dull. Word of God doesn't have much effect upon my life. Oh boy. We need to repent of that. And we need to beg God for His work in our life. And we need to work at letting God word be powerful in our lives. We need to be working at our devotions. We need to be working at confessing our sin. We need to be working at staying close to God. It's not going to come by signs and wonders. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the great truths of Your Word. We need them, Lord. We realize that they are directly for others. And yet, Lord, we recognize the great truth that can be applied to our lives today. And now, Lord, as we close this service, we realize that we do need to be alive and alert. We need to be people of decision. We need to decide what we ought to do because it's right. We need to decide what we ought to do because of Your Word, of truths in Your Word. We ought not to be waiting for someone to hit us over the head with a 2x4 or someone to shake us up. We need to be a watchful people. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be decisive. We would be a people open and listening to Your Spirit and to truth and applying it to our lives. And, Lord, I pray that You'll give grace for in each and every life. That, Lord, that because Your Spirit dwells within, because they are born of Your Spirit, they can, Lord, by Your grace, in Your strength, decide to get ready, to be ready, to turn from sin, to be awake in a dark day. And so may You move in our midst, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.